Welcome to today. Seems if the space has been properly prepared for today's exploration. As you can see what is being stirred, there'll be plenty of time for questions in a little bit. But last night, had a new download of teachings that struck me as what could be a very essential offering to provide you. So I had a vision that this would create a lot of ahas. So let's go for it. And what this teaching that I offer you today will, I think, resolve is an understanding of a very, I won't say complicated, I'll say multifaceted subject in spirituality, where you can talk about it in so many different ways and you really don't quite get a handle on what it really means. And so I want to provide you a very clear understanding and, of course, a transmission of understanding a subject matter that when you understand it in this new way, I think it's going to clarify things. And the subject matter is, what is separation? Because it seems as if there's so many of us that have these ideas of, well, we're pursuing oneness because we want to get out of separation. We want to wake up to transcend separation. Perhaps the separation could be the loss of a loved one. Perhaps separation can be the ending of a relationship. Perhaps separation can be a feeling of being held back from fully expressing your infinite potential. Separation from you and the divine, that's usually the popular one in the spiritual community. I feel separate from the divine, which is a very, you know, I don't make light of that because it's a very deep experience. I never in my life ever felt separate from the divine. I just spent my entire life exploring it. And that's all I cared about. Even when I was a kid, my questions were, what is real and where is God? That was, for me, what intrigued me. And psychic abilities and powers and mystical magic, that's what intrigued me. I was the kind of kid that would like push on every bookshelf looking for the secret door. Because I thought that was so cool. And I never liked to do things in a conventional way. Like in school, it'd be like, follow these simple instructions. I'd always want to like do something else. What else could it be? Everything was like some sort of mystery. So separation. The easiest way to understand separation. Well, in order to understand separation, you actually have to understand first what resolves it. If you know what resolves separation first, separation is easy to understand. And what resolves separation is something called humility. And humility is the activity of pure heartfelt honesty. So the reason we call this journey an association of truth or a journey of truth is because only honesty will progress you forward. You're only going to go as deep as you're willing to be honest. If you know that, already your perspective starts to change. And so what I mean about humility is what resolves separation. Well, humility is the willingness to accept that you are exactly where your heart's experience is, no matter how much farther ahead your mind wants to be. That's humility. My mind thinks I should be enlightened, but my heart still hurts from the rejection of a lover. I don't want to want the person that's so bad for me. But damn it, I can't help it. That's humility. Carol, we were talking about that yesterday. Amen. So separation is when your mind is not where your heart is. And there's a rift. Doesn't that make it simple? That is, I mean, last night I had this download. I went, holy shit, that's so awesome. Yeah. That's a great thing about being a transmissioner, like a channel of space, because even when it comes, I always get excited. I'm like, that's so cool. I get excited about everything that comes through me. Because I'm excited about the subject matter and the exploration, the purity. And so when we are dishonest with ourselves, dishonesty means I am totally sold on what my mind wants, where it thinks it's at, what it thinks it is, and I'm totally not even willing to look at where my body is. So where we are in the spiritual journey, your body will let you know. And so the reason I share this is because there's so many different facets of spirituality. We talked about yesterday a little bit where there are some spiritual paths that are just easily made into very dogmatic approaches. In fact, anything that has a formal path to it can be made into anything dogmatic. A religion can be made to be very dogmatic. Any path, you know, I've seen this happen with non-duality. I've seen this happen with A Course of Miracles. I've seen this happen in Zen Buddhism. I've seen this happen in every tradition. Because there's a specific path and a direction which orients your attention in a certain way. But what happens is the mind becomes the expert on the procedures. It knows how to get into character. It knows how to become that. It knows how to impersonate that. And then there's a huge rift between what your mind thinks it's impersonating and what your heart actually experiences. And that lack of unison creates dishonesty. And then we start being dishonest with ourselves, deceptive in relationships, making choices that make other people happy that aren't even our choices. All of these things happen because our mind and our heart are not on the same page. And usually what we do is we try to get the mind to change, which is really the mind trying to change itself because it's the one trying to stay in character. Right? You turn your mind into this really odd, abusive life coach. Right? That tells you when you're not being present. Tells you when other people aren't being present, like you're the scorekeeper of that, right? And all the while, your whole spiritual path is just giving you a chance to pay attention to your own heart. Where your heart is, that's where your experience is. And so, obviously a few of you are resonating with this. I love how Zachary's just cracking open, and that's awesome. That's awesome. Looks good on you. Humility looks good on you. We don't have to be humiliated to find humility. We just have to be honest. But a lot of us don't know what honest means. Some of us think honest means I sit down with people and I tell them every dark secret I've ever, you know. Like, you know, that's not what it is. Honesty means full disclosure with yourself. And so what humility and separation, but really the end of separation is a sacred marriage between mind and heart, where mind and heart meld into a holy matrimony of oneness and unity. When this becomes one, you see this as one. It's the simplest way to know it. So if you don't see one here, something in here is going on. And what gets in the way of the holy matrimony of marrying mind and heart as one is a battle. And the battle is not between light and dark. It's not between good and evil. It's not between past and future. It's not between oneness and separation. The battle is between you and your imagination. That's where the battle takes place, in your imagination. Where imagination is being used against you because you don't know what it is. If we were to think of imagination, people put imagination in the category of make-believe. So it gets this, like, made up, like, not valuable. But this is make-believe too. So imagination is not what you think it is. It's really something quite spectacular. In fact, if we think of what the substance of imagination is, imagination, but what's the substance of imagination? What is imagination molded out of? Imagination is molded out of nothing but spirit. So imagination, the fabric of imagination, the light in which everything is molded out of, is nothing but universal truth. So everything you see is make-believe, and that which is fantasy and make-believe is molded out of nothing but an inconceivable truth. Therefore, in that marriage of mind and heart, truth and fantasy are the same. And all that remains, not the question of truth, not the question of fantasy, all that remains is honesty. So the spiritual path isn't about truth, it's about honesty. And you saying, despite where I know I can be, or I think I should be, or I pretend I'm not, here's where I'm at. Here's where I'm at. I've realized that I am the supreme Godhead of existence, and I'm afraid to sleep alone in the dark. For example, that's honesty. Right? That's what liberates you. Right? I have realized I'm nothing but particles of divine grace. And every time that dog commercial Sarah McLachlan comes on, I cry my ass off. That's humility. I am the immovable Holy Spirit. And if I get to a party and there's one appetizer left, I run and I dive because I don't want to miss out. Be fucking honest. This is what humility is. It's awesome. That's a refined embodiment. Because honesty is God's game. God only incarnates to be honest. Honesty is the way the game goes. And when you are completely honest, and a lot of people think of honesty as this like tool of manipulation, like I'm going to be honest with you. That doesn't exist. Being honest with other people doesn't exist. You're only being honest with yourself in their presence. So like when we're trying to be honest about our assessment of them, we're in fantasy land. We're in some, right, life coach is just having a monologue, taking control of the body and is just going for it. So we're not honest about other people and how we assess them. We're only allowing other people to be present while we're honest with ourselves. Very clear. So it's never like, let me be honest about my judgments of you, because who gives a shit about that, right? And hopefully when you start, as you really start waking up, you'll lose interest in all that. You'll be in the middle of like judging someone and like they're thinking it's feedback and you're just like, stop. Because you realize it's nonsense. You're only there to use your opportunities with other people to say, let me bare my soul about myself to you, because as I share of myself, I free myself, and I thank you for holding the space for me. You know, and I can tell you from personal experiences, having, you know, awakening experiences since I was 6 years old, I've had awakening experiences before I knew what life was. And they're great, they're wonderful, they're life-changing, but there is nothing quite like living with a clear conscience and feeling totally at peace with life because you're completely honest. And not because it's a spiritual principle to follow, but because you're worth nothing less than complete honesty. It feels so good to be honest. It's such a, oh God, I'm so, oh, I feel so good to be honest. And then you start living like that. Why wouldn't I be honest? Because honesty isn't about other people. It's about how you feel. People that ask for your feedback about them don't know how to be honest with themselves. You're not there to give people feedback about your perceptions of them, because you're just sharing with them a conditioned view. Right? Hey, so-and-so, look through the lens of your ancestors and judge me. Who cares about that? And give me a 2-minute break from hating myself and tell me very nice things that when I walk away, I'm going to spend time disagreeing with. Why? The question is, what do you think of yourself? And beyond what do you think of yourself, how do you feel in your heart? How you feel in your heart is where you're at. And when you just admit what's happening in your heart, despite how uncool it might register to the personality structure up here, that like a stock market is deciding how that's going to either increase or decrease your value in terms of the world around you. Oh, if you talk about that, people aren't going to want to, you know, be around you. Right? In the social stock market. Well, that's going to lower your stock if you say that out loud. So if we just admit, like to ourselves right now, no matter how bad I think it would make me look, no matter how ashamed I am, no matter how uncomfortable or out of practice I am, this is where I'm at right now. And I don't need to know where it's going. I don't need to know what it means. I don't need to know if it's spiritually against the law. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm at. Right? Even if it's, and these are, I'm always giving hypothetical examples, but they're always real for so many of you. Like, you can have experiences, I've realized that there's only the light of love that exists. And yet there's this tendency to think there's something so wrong and evil about me. And I walk around, like, apologizing for the way I imagine myself. And trying to be such a good person to prove the opposite of what I believe about myself. So the battle is between you and your imagination, because your imagination is the freedom of divine will experiencing itself in all possibilities. But when it's expressed and utilized by a very immature space of consciousness, it uses its imagination against itself and imagines things that aren't even true. And so what we're waking up out of is a belief in our own limited imagination. And what we're doing is we're learning to make peace with our imagination so that the mind and the heart can unite in holy matrimony. And when that is one, you will see this as one. And you'll still see separate bodies. You're not gonna, it's not like bodies disappear, it's that you still see bodies and buildings and things. But within the play of what looks like separate things, there's almost like a presence of a shimmery mist vibration. For me, it gets so intense, it's like a barbecue, you know what I mean? Half the time when I'm on stage, I don't even see you guys because it's just such a thick mist of energy. Even if I look at myself, I just see an energy appearing as this. I don't really have a sense of myself as anything other than that. And I still feel, I have feelings, but the feelings are just manifestations of energy. They don't strike me as anything. They don't mean anything. And it's not like I sit around going, I'm beyond all of this. There's nothing to be beyond. And when someone tells you that, you go, oh, yeah, right. And then when it happens to you, you'll tell someone else that, and they'll say, yeah, right. That's how the game works. But it's not like the bodies disappear. It's just you become aware of a presence, or what I think of as like a shimmery, vibrational, sparkly mist, like sparkles on a lake. And you just start seeing it. And if you just slow down and you look at something for long enough, you'll start to see a little bit of a shimmeriness in it. You'll go, oh, that's the energy that appears as that object. Oh, it's all one because there's object and there's formless presence at the same time. Oh, it's not two separate things. It's just one. And then there's just that which is one only knows one. And that which only knows one is totally willing to live in form. Why wouldn't it explore a world of separation? It doesn't exist. You can't get caught up in time without looking at your watch, just being here right now. If we listen, what tells us the time is happening right now? Unless you're here tracking and keeping it. So I'm not going to take you beyond time, because time has yet to even begin. Time has yet to even begin. Crazy shit, man. I'd love to help you step beyond separation, but it hasn't occurred yet. It's been imagined. Imagine separation. Separation has been imagined. Time has been imagined. Right? We draw imaginary lines in the ground. That's Utah, that's Nevada. And we all agree on it, and it's that collective imagined idea, which then becomes, in this society, something called real. But in this world, real is just what everyone collectively agrees to hallucinate about. Yeah. But the Matrix is only what you say the Matrix is. What you say the Matrix is, the Matrix shows you. How's your day? Crappy. That's what it is. And it will continue to be that. So let us end separation, which is end the dream of separation. We call it dream of separation because it is a separation itself is a dream. It doesn't exist outside of dreaming. And the way we resolve the dream of separation is by being honest. Because the only thing in you that is able to be completely honest and humble and forthright about where your heart is, no matter how ridiculous you may judge it to be, the only thing capable of doing that is the divine. The only thing capable of completely declaring and confessing its seemingly imperfect nature in existence is the divine. So every time you admit, you are cleansing and purging all what keeps you from seeing yourself as the divine. That's every time you admit, you purge and you cleanse all that binds and distracts you from knowing yourself as anything but the divine. That's why they say the truth shall set you free. We don't see it as an active truth shall set you free. But it does. And when you don't admit the truth to yourself, it festers as repressed energy. And then it builds up and it gets projected onto people in unrelated, inconvenient times. So if we just admit what we're constantly feeling, even when what's arising might sound to your mind like the craziest shit you've ever heard in your life. And I can tell you in my development, I had a period of time where I was shown this teaching in different ways, and I was invited to whatever arises, don't tell anyone here about it. Because God bless everyone in our world, but you tell them one thing, and that's the only thing they will know about you for like the next 10 years, right? You tell someone sometimes one thing, and that's who you become to them. But you just have to admit it to yourself. So if you just admit to yourself the darkest, scariest stuff that arises, like hypothetically it arises, oh my God, there's something inside me that thinks I'm evil, and I'm here to destroy the planet. And what you'll feel is that you're giving attention, you're giving purpose, and you're giving respect to what only masquerades as the darkest, most debaucherous, most sinister of forms, only to teach you that it's all worthy of being respected as the light in a different form. Yeah. You just have to admit it to yourself. So the reason we're scared of darkness is because we don't want to face or admit it. And once you face and admit it, you take darkness and you see that darkness is just light that's not aware of itself as light. And by simply giving it the equal respect that you would give light, you let that darkness take the veil off of its own eyes, and the innocence of light meets itself as the purity that it always has been. And you free darkness from its own self-imposed prison. So we're not here to get away from darkness. We're the light that travels into the darkness to free darkness. And we free darkness by giving it purpose, by giving it respect, and not indulging and embodying it and like, I had this thought, so I played it out. Had this idea to go start punching cantaloupes at the store. So I just went for it. You just admit the impulse. Hilarious. Comes from a funny place. You don't play it out. You just admit the impulse. You admit the craving. Every retreat, it's always something stupid I say. Matt Kahn punching cantaloupes.
There is no floor.
There's no floor punching cantaloupes.
Yeah.
As long as you admit the impulse to yourself, admit the impulse. I want to suppress this feeling by eating a lot of foods that are not good for me. Oh my God, this person is terrible for me, but I want them. Because I want to be with them, and it's going to be a train wreck, but I want to be with them so that I don't walk around pretending I can't be with them, or some silly whatever. Admit to yourself this deep whatever, and when you admit to yourself, you liberate yourself. People only play out unconscious behavior, not because they need a mind in there to go, let's be more conscious. Let's be fully present. Oh, you don't want to do that. It's not what an enlightened being does. No, no, no. You don't need that crap. What you need is to just say, well, this is only arising to be admitted. And I only do the most unconscious of behaviors because I'm only playing out what craves to be admitted and just being given the purpose to say that you are as equal of an expression as the highest of high, the holiest of holy. That every sound I utter, every image I see, is a different name and face of God. And if there is anything that dares to lurk in the recesses of my mind, that shall even get my attention for a fraction of a second, I will look directly at it, I will give it life, I will admit its relevance, and I will profess to myself whatever it wants to say, just to liberate it back to the light it's always been. And that's when fear disappears. Because what could you be afraid of? It's only arising for you to admit, confess, and free yourself. People in this world, it's only there to be loved, accepted, and forgiven. This is only here to be loved, accepted, and forgiven. By saying you have a right to express yourself, it doesn't mean you agree with it. And this is how we erase the boundaries of an imagined psychological structure. This is how our personalities no longer suppress and limit our spirit from being expressed. This is how our minds and our hearts get on the same page. It's not like telling the mind to like chill out. Like sometimes people start treating their mind like how they were parented in childhood. Okay, honey, you're gonna have to get a timeout. You're being a little inappropriate. I'm having a very spiritual experience right now. And you're being kind of a pain in the ass. That's not how it works. When that's the relationship within yourself, that's how you treat other people. And we're way past the time in history where we can be spiritual beings who have a lot of awesome insights but still walk around judging other people, as if that makes any goddamn sense. As if that makes any sense at all. We're in the business now checking our math and being aware of the fact that anything that you think or say about someone else is something you haven't admitted to yourself. We're way past that. Because we're in the business of just being honest, being humble. Humbled as, and by the way, the other part of this is that the other misconception is that in the spiritual community throughout the years, humble and humility has been confused with insecurity. And so a lot of beings are so sensitive and afraid to be confident. Afraid to be confident. You know, got this one down. Oh yes, namaste. We're all, oh yes, I am nothing, I have no purpose, I do not matter. Oh, so sorry. I am just a gust of wind. I do not matter. Even a gust of wind. I'm so sorry if I even jostle your outfit. When I walk past you, I will hold my breath so not to even disturb anything about you. That is insecurity. That's not humble. And I say this because I've done this. In the very beginning, confidence is knowing yourself as the divine and allowing yourself to fully realize that you are a living expression of the divine, that you are living proof the divine is here. So really, confidence is about devotion of God as everything. You're just excited to see the beauty of God in everything. You're God, everything's God. Oh my God, heaven's playing in form. We're all so gorgeous. We have senses, we have choices, let's just go do stuff. You know, that's that's heaven, right? But what we mix up is confidence and, what's the word I'm looking for? Arrogance, thank you, good one. Arrogance is I'm better than you. The other side of arrogance is insecurity. You're better than me. Confidence is we're one. And yet we're different expressions of the same one, so we can have different attributes. Confidence is necessary. In fact, if you don't feel like you've ever had a lot of confidence, or the real kind of good, heart-centered confidence, it's only a sign that you haven't spent enough time being honest with yourself. Confiding, confessing. I like confessing. And when you confess to yourself, as you confess to yourself on a regular basis, what you start finding is heart-centered confidence, which is the joy and excitement to be spirit in action. And not explaining yourself, not needing to negotiate, just full on. And it doesn't, like, it have to draw attention to itself. I mean, there's a palpableness to it. You can feel it. You can notice it. But it just can be, it can be so gentle. But it's just so obvious. So there's a lot of times this in this spiritual journey where we go, God, I know this. It makes sense. I feel it in my body. But I'm just, there's just the self-doubt in me. The self-doubt tells you you're doing everything except being honest with yourself. When you allow yourself to be honest about, wow, I seem to be a character who is rather imperfect, only to overcome my own judgments of these things as better or worse, then it all disappears. Wow, maybe I'm only playing this out to admit this about myself, to no one else but me. And when two beings are willing to be honest with one another or honest with themselves in the presence of another, we find intimacy. Intimacy. Intimacy is nothing but honesty, meeting itself. Sometimes in the spiritual journey, there's a sense of feeling alone and isolated. Sometimes there's a fear of being alone and isolated. But do you know that life will only strip you down to being alone for one reason? So that there's nothing left to do but be honest with yourself. So when you're alone, you're never alone. You're just one with your honesty. And if you've never faced honesty before, the first couple times can be a little intimidating. Because you're so afraid, or you've convinced yourself, that when you admit it to yourself, you're going to be punished. And all that will happen is that you'll be liberated. There is no punishment. The only punishment is withholding honesty from yourself. And it will eat you alive. And you walk around trying to be this pretend false version of yourself to other people, trying to get them to believe. And the thing is, most people will believe who you pretend to be, except you. And it doesn't matter. Like, everyone will treat you like this pretend version. Hey, blah, 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 right? And you're feeling like you're, like, getting away with some crime. You feel like a criminal at large, right? Who's wearing some, like, disguise, waiting for the FBI to bust through the doors and get you. You're always on the lam, you know what I mean? That's my mustache. Right? I'd be the worst criminal ever. This would be my disguise. Not even a real mustache, just a finger. Oh, that's so funny. It's my mustache. So are we willing to be honest with ourselves? And in a group like this, when we're honest out loud, we're being honest with ourselves in the presence of those that are here to support and love. And the beauty is when you're honest with yourself out loud in front of all these people, what it does is everything that you're honest about out loud in this kind of a sacred setting frees everyone of the same thing. So as we share and have these experiences together, no, just like when you ask a question, the answers are for you all. Someone else going through something, oh, it's totally me. What you admit frees everyone. In the beginning, you only have to be honest with yourself. That's enough. But if you really want to take advantage of this opportunity of what we have here together, be honest out loud. Because all you're confessing to is to the divine that you are. The dream is that if I say this out loud, people are going to think I'm this. No one thinks anything about you. People are too busy ridiculing themselves to even know what the hell they think about you. The only thing people think about you is wondering what you think about them. People don't have time to think shitty things about you. They're too busy trying to make you measure up to loving them. It's hilarious and it's so innocent at the same time. It's so innocent and beautiful. We just have to be honest. Just be honest. And then what you find is that it's not like there becomes this moment where the clouds part and no separation anymore. You just forget about what separation is. You forget it exists. It's like a song you haven't heard in a while and you go, I forgot that even existed. You just forget it even exists because it doesn't. The divine wants diversity. That's why this exists. It wants to know itself in all forms. It wants diversity. It wants experiences. It wants all possibilities. The idea that life is this amazing amusement park and we're supposed to sit on the bench and like call it an illusion is ridiculous. You've been given a ticket, so take the ride. Yes, right. And if the amusement park is such an illusion that it looks like you're not going to die on any ride, so enjoy it. Just enjoy the ride. Right, you're sitting on the bench of the amusement park. What's my life purpose? To enjoy yourself. How come they're not asking themselves this deep question? Because they're eating cotton candy. Go do that. Go ride a ride. Not in that order, by the way. You only do that once. Then your life purpose is not do that again. We're here to enjoy a playground of honesty. The more honest you are, the more fun this becomes. And the more inundated you are with... And so, knowing that, that means that any moments of disappointment, stress, turmoil, suffering, confusion, are all just little... Because everything in the universe is a teacher. It's a helper of you. It's a tool to help show you your way. Disappointment, self-judgment, self-doubt, shame, stress, envy, confusion, all of these are reminders that you're not being 100% honest with yourself. And when you're 100% honest with yourself, none of those things happen. That's why they exist. And you may not know that. Now that you know that, it's not like, well, the stress is in my life because of these people over here. No, it's because you're not being honest with yourself. You're not being honest with yourself. So if you're 100% honest with yourself, you find yourself living in a very different playground, very different universe. And then spirituality becomes the will to live at full capacity. The willingness to love, forgive, and accept as never before. That's spirituality. Spirit in action. Enjoying everything to its deepest capacity. That's spirituality, is devotion. And awakening is just showing you what devotion celebrates. Right? Devotion is a big party in heaven. And sooner or later you go, what the hell is this party about? Ta-da! Every body is a cake, and it's just God waking up in all these cakes. Ta-da! Hi! I'm who the party's about. It's hilarious. It's a funny image, isn't it? It's God waking up out of a cake. Ta-da! No. Not in my dream. Not in my dream. So when we experience things like stress, separation, all these things that we typically use spirituality to try to resolve, right? I'm going to use spirituality to get rid of these things. I'm going to read a book, I'm going to take a course, and gather all my information and obliterate the shit out of the things I don't like. And that doesn't work. Because spiritual path is just about you only go as deep as your willingness to be honest. And the more honest you're willing to be about who you appear to be, the more you transcend the limitations of sight and sound. There's no limitation to really being in form, as long as you're honest. When you feel totally like in the heaviness of form, density, it's because you're not being honest. We only enter the kingdom one moment of honesty at a time. Just an endless confession of honesty. Here's how I feel. And you know what? When you admit that to someone and they give you, like, I don't know, the world's crappiest experience of, like, holding the space for you, right? It doesn't matter. Which will typically happen in this world, right? Like, you're like, I just want to, like, share something deep inside of me. I just want you to be there for me. And they're like, oh, I'm going to totally be there for you. And then you share it, and then they just become, like, the worst experience ever, in whatever way that is. It doesn't matter what they do, because you just admitted it out loud to yourself, therefore you were freed. You don't need people to be conscious. You're conscious. You don't even need them to listen. You can just say it out loud to yourself. Do you realize that everything you say is only meant for you to hear? If people do or don't even understand what the hell you're talking about, it doesn't even matter. It has no bearing. The only reason people hear anything you have to say is because what you're saying is reminding them of what they haven't heard themselves say. So they only hear exactly what you say based on what they need to hear, and you only need to hear the sound of your own voice to free yourself. You don't need their response. You just need to be honest, whether you're alone or alone in the presence of someone else. Because most people, when they're in their dream, are going to listen to what you say, and then they're going to respond with, if I projected myself into your situation, here's how I'd feel about it. Well, thanks. Ain't about you. But thanks. Thanks for that irrelevant anecdote. Right? We've all had this experience. Right? Where someone shares something of themselves, and you think, well, if I were you, here's how I'd feel. Well, you're not. We're all one, but you're not. We just listen. We just, like I said to Sean yesterday, when all else fails or when in doubt, you're the most honest when you're listening. Because you know the only one who has to hear their words is them. So you just listen and don't distract them from that. Yeah. And what's the response? I hear you. Which is like saying to them, I hear you. Do you? Because you're the only one that has to hear this. And when you're speaking, we're so focused on, do they hear me? The question is, do you hear you? Because you're the only one that has to hear you. And all a judgment is you projecting onto what you think others are exactly what you want. And if you can hear what you want from others, then give it to yourself. If they don't listen, you listen better. If they're harsh, you be more loving. If they're narrow-minded, forgive them. Whatever people don't do, you do for yourself, and the way you practice doing those things for yourself is you practice with interacting with other people. So I see a lot of people that are closed-minded. I've got to be more gentle with myself, and I practice being more gentle with myself by speaking loving things to people that come my way. Now we're living in unity consciousness. Now we're using every moment as a chance to give to someone else what I'm practicing to receive for myself, and when I do that, I have nothing to judge about the world because I'm doing my homework. You see? Yeah, I practice giving to other people what I really need, and I know what I need because it's what I expect or judge other people not giving to me. So what you expect from others, you give to yourself, and you give it to yourself by practicing to give it to others. So it's like this. It's the play of the divine. It's the play of one in the appearance of all. And that's when you outsmart everything. And you realize there is a mystery going on, but the mystery is not with life. The mystery is with existence. What's dressed up in form is a mystery. But the play of life is not very mysterious when you're totally honest. And the reason all of this is like making so much sense is because you're all willing to be honest. And you just need to be pointed in the direction of, now let's be honest. That's why it's so funny, because we all, in our honesty, sense the truth of it. Because we're past the point in history where we get together and create a spiritual community where we all talk a really good game, but we're not living it. We are now here to create, and this is why this community is so special, because we're all so interested in living it. And we are living it, which is why all of our experiences and retreats always get better, always elevate in experiences, and just when you think, oh my God, then it goes even bigger because we're all so willing. And that's what's so, and I want, we, you know, that's what we, Julie and I, always applaud in you, is that we are creating something very special here. That even if we weren't a part of other communities, energetically we've learned from the past. We've learned from Atlantis, we've learned from Lemuria, whether you know what that means or not. We've learned from archetypal abuses of power. We've learned from technology being more evolved than the level of consciousness of the community. We've learned from that. We've learned from spiritual leaders with unresolved sexual energy and what happens there. We've learned from everything. And now we're here to create something very special, which is celebrating love rooted in honesty and allowing ourselves to shine as never before.
You're here.
You're here. Yeah, that's wonderful.